Strange Tales.
RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. On this episode of Strange Tales, we'll hear again from the South African series, The Creaking Door. Our story today comes from the 1964 to 1965 run of the show, sponsored by State Express Cigarettes. These seem to be the only shows that have survived over the years. The series may have ran until 1968 and 1970, there's some question to that. Our story today is from July 6th, 1964. It's titled, The Village of Daleside.
About this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the top in Pine Killers. The Creaking Door. The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door. Good evening, friends of The Creaking Door. The Creaking Door is
of international success, the taste that's uniquely 3-5. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so light, so smooth, so satisfying. 3-5, get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3-5 the king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3-5. Get the taste.
There are no lights in the village of Daleside. A few houses, the church, the general store come to office. It makes a pleasant rural picture. By day, and when night falls, the trees cast sinister shadows. The very quiet seems to have an air of black prophecy, particularly when the elements become unruly, the sky rumbling with thunder, and the sighing wind causing the branches to flutter with a kind of fear, and shake with a trembling sense of doom. The door of the cottage is flung open. From it, a man runs into the night, screaming.
Oh, no! No! Don't keep him out!
Mr. Green, what happened to you?
We've got to get away from here. Stop!
What be there, George?
It's Mr. Green, the schoolmaster. Oh, he was just coming in and I seen him running towards me. Looks as though the poor gentleman fainted. You'd better come and help me get him into the cottage.
Looks as though he'd seen a ghost or something.
Yeah, you take the one arm and I'll take the other. Oh, can you hear me, sir? Can you walk?
Are you really Constable Simpson?
Oh, there, sir. I'm the Constable Simpson, all right. And here's my wife. We'll get you into the cottage and you'll feel a little bit better. Now, come on.
Up. Here you are, poor chap. All this wind and cold. Something must have happened to him to make him run out of the house dressed like this. No, not just in his shirt and trousers.
Only a few yards. So try and walk.
Can you see anyone following us?
No, sir. Where you be pointing is the old oak tree. Looks a bit strange, like, in the night.
Yeah.
Oh, here we are. Now, sir, you sit here by the fire, and I'll give you a pot of brandy.
They're coming from the window. Keep them out.
Oh, no, no. It's only the shutter blowing open with the wind.
Yeah, I'll go and close it.
Here you are. You drink.
Lily, put me through the Dr. Cartwright. Yes, he's in. I saw the light shining in the sitting room window. Oh, I know he won't want to come out on a night like this, but tell him it's urgent. Mr. Cree, I don't know what's happened to him, but he's had a nightmare or something. Oh, he's in a bad way. No, I don't know, my girl. Don't ask any more questions. And just attend to your telephone, you. Is he asleep?
Oh, he be babbling away. You can't hear what he's saying.
The doctor will be here in a moment. I wondered what happened to him.
Whatever it might be, by the look of it, something evil has happened to him this night.
Yes, I'll chat it all right, Henry. It's your old friend Cartwright. David Cartwright.
Oh, Danny.
My bag will come to some
sense. Can I help, Doctor?
I don't know yet. You may have to stay here tonight, or we may have to rush into hospital.
Fantastic.
I'm going to try and sedate him. Thank you. I thought you rang. It was a bad attack of one of his migraines. I'm just getting an injection. Do you mind rolling up his sleeve, Mr. Simpson?
Oh, yes, certainly.
It's sort of nice enough to give anyone the jitters. Thank you. There. That should put him under. Oh, well, he stopped talking in his delirium anyway.
Poor chap. He gave him his supper less than 3 hours ago. He said he had a bit of a headache then.
Oh, he did he? I wonder if you'd mind if the schoolmaster stayed here for an hour or two. I know it's rather late, but I don't want to risk moving him at the moment.
Why, of course he can stay here, bless his heart. I always said it wasn't good for him, living all alone like that.
Oh, I don't know. You do his cooking and cleaning. Well, the school's only half a mile away.
Yes, I agree with you, Constable. I think that Henry Creed leads a reasonably happy life.
Oh, dear, he do look in a bad way.
Oh, you're beautiful. You epitome of all man's desire. So evil.
What's he saying, Doctor?
I don't know. This sedative I've given him, it sometimes produces this sort of reaction. They call it the talking drug. It releases...
Rational. I'm a rational man. I'm not mad. It happened to me. I'm not mad, I tell you. The face of a gorilla.
Oh, maybe we shouldn't be going on so.
Oh, no. Let him talk. I wonder what he means by face of a gorilla. Your eyes are open, Henry.
It is you, David.
Yes, I'm David. And here's the worthy Constable Simpson and Mrs. Simpson. Without her, you'd be lost, wouldn't you now?
Oh, Mrs. Simpson. Yeah. Let me hold your hand.
No,
please. Don't you see? I need to feel reality around me.
Henry, you mustn't excite yourself. If you want to talk, by all means do so. But perhaps you'd rather sleep.
Sleep? I'll never sleep again. I'm too afraid of waking up in the middle of the night and finding them there. Oh, don't look at me like that, David. I'm not mad.
Stop talking about being mad. No one believes you're mad. You feeling a little more relaxed?
I don't know how I feel.
Why, you poor gentleman. You're shaking like an aspen.
Tell me something. Look, I think I'd better leave you.
No, Peter, please. I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to me without interruption. Even though you think I'm insane, you must not interrupt. Please, please, promise.
I promise.
If I'm mad, if they have caused my mind to snap, then you'll have to...
Stop talking about being mad. Now, what happened tonight? Why are you in your shirt, trousers, and slippers? You're lucky you didn't catch pneumonia.
Tonight, after I had my supper and Mrs. Simpson left, I thought I'd put on the radio.
Just in case you've tuned in late, this is your own Cheerful Charlie with his many quips, music, and crazy comments on the local scene. Oh, by the way, did you ever hear the story of a man who went into a departmental store? The assistant said to him, "Yes, sir, can I do anything for you?" And the man replied, "Let's see."
What the...
I switched it off.
What? No! I had my back to the radio set, and when I turned round, he was standing there. I tried not to believe what my eyes were telling me. But there in the center of my living room was a man, dressed in ordinary clothes. A man you wouldn't think of looking at twice until you saw his face. It was the face of a gorilla. Is this a joke? Is that a mask? Are you from a circus? No.
That will teach you to describe me as a joke.
Lily! Hello, Lily! You nearly broke my arm.
That is nothing to what I can do. Your name is Henry Cree. You have no near relatives. You live alone.
How do you know these things?
Alice is never wrong.
I'm dreaming. I must be dreaming.
Does that feel as though you're dreaming? Come, give me your hand. Don't shrink away from me. See the hair on my face. Do you think that is a mask?
Enough, Paul.
But no. I have to...
You heard what Alex said. If you want this man to help you, you've got to restrain the theories that are within you. He didn't cause your face to become like that. He's going to help you, aren't you, Henry Queen?
There she was, with a voice that made every word a command. She stood there as though some magician had conjured her from the thin air. Never in all my life had I seen anyone so exquisitely beautiful. No Botticelli, no Lorenzal could have ever depicted such eyes set in an oval face that has the expression of innocence and sensuality. Her long Grecian gown revealed her beautiful shoulders, and her hands with their long tapering fingers seemed to suggest the very touch would set a man on fire. You know me?
You have known me for a long time, Henry. Ever since Alex conducted his experiment on Paul, you have been searching. It was Alex who found you.
I'm not a doctor. I'm a schoolmaster. I don't understand.
There are some things beyond all understanding. Sit down, Henry.
But I...
You heard her. Sit down.
Please, whoever you are, I've not been well all day. I've had a migraine.
You started getting those migraines about 3 months ago, isn't that true, Henry?
Yes, but how did you know?
And when you got these migraines, you had to lie down in a dark room. You saw strange things. Across your eyes would come dancing lights. Isn't that right, Henry?
Yes. The doctor, Dr. Cartwright, said it's the usual symptom of a migraine. Overwork.
Overwork.
Shut up, Paul. No, Henry. If you are to help us, we have to remove all doubt from your mind as to Alex's power.
Show him, Lorna. Show him. Let's have Alex's favorite, the seagull.
How far away are you from the sea, Henry?
100 miles? 120?
Here. Give me your hand. Come on, Henry. Don't be frightened. Nothing is going to happen to you. Yes.
She took my hand. How can I describe the silken softness of her skin? The tactile fever of her touch. Suddenly there's a sort of silence. So deep as to stun one with its impact. And then...
was roaring in my ears, and they were flapping all over the room.
You get them,
Henry. What? Oh, get them off me. Please, go away, you brute.
You call them brutes, and they'll be taking your eyes out.
Perfectly still. No harm will come to you. Otherwise, they will touch you to death.
Get 3 5. Get the taste. 3 5 by State Express. Get the taste of international success. The taste that's uniquely 3 5. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so right, so smooth, so satisfying. 3 5. Get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3 5 the king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3 5. Get the taste.
Very well be hen-pecked, could he? So the seagulls had to do the pecking instead. But let us return to the police constable cottage, shall we?
I sat there rigid, not daring to move a muscle. Seagulls have always represented the white crests playing on waves, a moonlit sky, and the diving and swooping of the friendly white whippoorwills. And here they were in my cottage, sinister, evil, malevolent.
Don't move, dare you. Now do you know why you've got to give me a human head?
That is enough, Paul. All right, Henry. I think you're convinced. They've gone.
They have. They're not here.
But we are.
Henry, do you find me desirable?
Oh, here am I with all sense of reality gone. My mind broken on the wreck of not knowing. And yet I do, Lorna. I find you the most enticing, desirable woman I've ever seen. Or ever hope to see.
I, too, am under the power of Alex. When you have done Alex's bidding, then Paul's head becomes human again. Then I shall be yours.
Mine?
Yes, Henry.
Mine for always.
Where we come from, Henry, there is no such thing as always. A second can be forever. Are we ready, Henry?
Ready for what?
For the next stage.
Oh, no. No, not the seagull.
No, Henry. Remember those strange colors that you saw in your mind's eye when you had your migraine? Now they will become larger. You will hear a million colors, and in your ears will be music that you have never heard before. It will mean, Henry, that you will enter a new phase. A phase that will bring you closer to my arms. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Close your eyes, Henry.
She caressed my
lips with hers. And I was being consumed by fire. I began to tremble. I shook to a kind of rhythm that produced a sort of music that pounded in my ears. And it burst strange, flashing colors to my eyes. That music. That strange music.
Hear the music. Soon, Henry. Soon, Paul will have his faith and you will achieve an ecstasy that will compensate you. Listen, Henry. Listen.
Laura! Laura! I've never loved before! To love,
Lorna. I will teach you to love. I will be your love and you will be mine. Am I not everything you ever wanted?
Yes.
Then I shall be yours. When Alex has done what he has to do.
I've been ready, Paul.
Do you mean that now I shall look like him?
As soon as Alex comes and does what he has to do.
I heard them, and I didn't care. I wanted Alex to be there to do whatever he liked. I didn't care what happened to me as long as I had Lorna in my arms.
Alex,
why are you surprised, Paul? Have you ever known me not to keep my promise?
Welcome, Alex. Henry welcomes you too. Don't you, Henry?
Yes. Yes.
Good. You have done your work well, Lorna. Tell me, Henry Creed, are you prepared to come with me into the vast regions of the unknown, knowing that Lorna will be by your side?
Yes.
You have divorced your mind from all rationality. You will no longer think in terms of cause and effect, rational explanation.
Yeah.
Of course, Lorna has conditioned your mind, enriched it with a thought that while there was logic there, you could not possess her. But you no longer think logically, do you, Henry Creed?
No. No, I do not.
And you, Paul, you know the part you have to play?
Yes, Alex.
Come here.
What is that for?
Did I order you to administer physical punishment? Did I not tell you to keep in check your brutish strength?
But he was running over to the telephone.
You dull, boorish gorilla. Just as Henry Creed's mind has become conditioned to what is going to befall him, so yours has become unconditioned. The very thought of having a human face is making you act like a stupid human being.
Don't be hard on him, Alex. After all, it was you who gave him the face.
Perhaps I should have given him the body of a gorilla, too. Are you ready?
He's ready. Aren't you, Henry?
Yes. Yes, I'm ready.
I knew then that I was hypnotized, that nothing that I said or did was of my own volition. Reason had gone, and I didn't care. I didn't ask how. I was to assist in giving Paul back his human head. It was a dream, a nightmare, a mental fantasy, call it what you will. Whatever was due to happen, I wanted that unknown desperately. The unknown meant Lorna, and the fire and magic of her love.
You're ready, Henry, aren't you?
Yes, I'm ready.
We must make sure.
Make sure?
Yes. You will not move. Neither by look nor sign will you notice the arrival of your friend.
And then they came. First a young foe, the face of an old man laughing insanely. And then an ambling ape with the face of an Adonis. And then there was a screeching seagull.
They have gone. All gone. Even your beloved Lorna.
Lorna, gone?
She will be back.
What are you going to do? That knife?
Oh, come, come, Henry. It is more than just a knife.
This scalpel has worked miracles in surgery. I might as well tell you that in other fields, I was famous for my surgical skills. And now, just lie here, please. Don't hesitate. Don't tell me the spell is not still with you. Think of Lorna.
Yes, Lorna. Lorna.
Now lie down here. Lorna has gone, but she will help you.
Think of nothing but what we are going to do to each other. Think of nothing else, Henry.
No. No, I won't.
Ready?
Ready.
As Alex bent over me, the scalpel seemed to have achieved luminosity. It glowed as if in an inner light. And then Alex's face became larger and larger. His eyes seemed to be piercing deep into my brain. Scalpel into my cheek, cutting my cheek. And then I ran. I ran out of the house. And here you are, David. The constable.
And I can see by the look on your faces that you think I'm mad. If it means never seeing them again, I want to be mad. I want to be taken away somewhere. To be left alone.
And to be all right.
Constable Simpson?
Oh, is that the village constable of Daleside? Inspector Crawley gave me your phone number.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
I'm trying to get out.
Oh?
Well, I'm trying to reach a Mr. Henry Creed. He's the schoolmaster who lives in your village, customer of mine.
Yeah, well, what can I do for you?
Well, the most terrible thing's happened. My assistant made a mistake. Instead of giving Mr. Creed his usual tablet for his migraine this afternoon, she made a mistake in the prescription department. It should have gone to the Berkshire Mental Hospital. He's been given lysergic acid. If he takes them instead of his migraine tablets, it could give him the most terrible hallucination.
Well, too late. He's had them. Doctor's with him now.
Why? I'm awfully sorry. I don't know what to say.
Well, there's nothing you can say, is there? Now you'll tell, Doctor. Goodbye. Hey, Doctor, that there was...
All right, I heard every word. Oh, thank goodness it's not anything worse. Henry, what you suffered from was a dose of LSD. Your chemist made a mistake. You've nothing more to worry about. I'll give you another shot, and by the morning, you'll be as bright as rain.
LSD. LSD. Oh, thank heaven.
Well, I'll be on my way.
Good night, Doctor.
Good night, Constable.
Doctor.
Did you notice Mr. Creed's face? Looked a bit bruised, didn't it?
Yes.
And that nasty gash on his cheek. Well, how did that happen?
I don't know.
I simply don't know.
Should have thought the chemist should have helped his assistant. After all, two heads are better than one.
Get 3 fives. Get the taste. 3 fives by State Express. Get the taste of international success. The taste that's uniquely 3 fives. Only when no expense is spared in its making can a cigarette taste so right, so smooth, so satisfying. 3 fives, get the taste. The taste that State Express created for you. The taste that has made 3 fives the king-size cigarette of international success. Get 3 fives, get the taste.
Host back again. Just a reminder of our rendezvous next week. Where are we going? Through the creaking door. Of course.
The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes invite you to listen next Saturday at 9 o'clock when they will again present The Creaking Door.
That's our story for this week. If you want to find more from The Creaking Door, past episodes of Strange Tales, and everything else Relic Radio, just visit relicradio.com. You'll find our Shoutcast stream there as well, and our donate button if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. It's how this is all made possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have. Thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.